Yeah, the things that are remembered, right? Was that poor lady, she had been, I said this morning, she had been in Emerge, and she was having some health issues, and she was a very nice person. She was, she had sold, actually, the sewing machine was her mother's, and her mother had passed away, and I think this lady might have been saved from our conversation, so, but anyway, it was kind of hilarious, this lady pushing me up, and she just got out of Emerge, so we were the colossal Three Stooges, I think. But anyway, it was a very interesting time. Let's just ask God to help us. Father, we are thankful of the mercies of the Lord. Thank you that we have truly something to sing about. And as Kelly reminded us, not only in time, but for all eternity, it'd be amazing what a chorus and a choir we will be a part of to bring praise to you. We just pray that as we plod through this life, that we will truly do it in a way that pleases you. And then when we stand before you, you can say to us, well done. That's what we long for, thou good and faithful servant. May that be the case. May our time together be one more step in helping us prepare for that day. And we just ask that the Spirit of God would oversee, overrule, and direct our time in the way that pleases you and honors you and builds us up. In Christ's name, amen. I was thinking about this as I was driving, you know, things that, you know, thinking illustrations and that type of thing. But I remember, of course, all my illustrations largely come from my farm days, and there's a lot of, maybe too many illustrations from farm days, but remember when you would drive into a field, let's say I was coming in with, sometimes because you're where you were going wasn't that far, or was too far to walk to, but you'd take your tractor and your implement and you'd pull it to a field. And in dry land country, in Kansas country, a lot of times your fields are pretty big because they're flat, it's dry land, it takes a lot of land to grow the same amount of crop you might be able to grow in another part of the country where you had a lot of rain. And so a lot of the fields were fairly good size. And I remember you'd drive in, a big old implement, and you'd thinking, and you're looking at this field, and you think, oh man, this looks like a huge, huge field. And And I remember the first round you'd make on a field if you were going around, which sometimes you'd go back and forth. But a lot of times you'd go around. And I remember those first couple of rounds, it took like forever, and you thought, I am never going to get done. This will never get done. And it was just too much land. So, but, you know, also I remember, let's say it was a day or maybe a day and a half, maybe 2 days, when you made that last cut, might have been as you were clearing out the corners, and you look back, and you were so satisfied that you finished that field. Now, that seems like, what are we talking about here? But, you know, when we go through life, don't we want to look back and be thankful that we finished whatever it is that God called us to do? We want to finish what He called us to do, and that's what will really count. That's what will count, not necessarily going around and around in a field. But whatever He's called us, and all of us are called, you know, we're unique roles in life, and that's great. But we want to do it God's way and do it in a way that honors Him. And so we talked this morning, as we talked about purpose. And, you know, last Sunday we talked about purpose for the individual. And the purpose for the church really merged together into one purpose, and that is to please Christ. To please Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. I was thinking about in the front of our bulletins, and I'm thankful that Trish has put it there. And it says, "Welcome to Edmondson Heights." And then purpose. Our purpose is to please Christ. And then we talked about this a little bit this morning through abiding in Christ. We just don't have the resources within ourselves apart from Christ. But through abiding in Him, drawing on His strength, then building up those in the body of Christ. And we started on that. And this evening we want to go to reaching out to those without Christ. If we are in tune with what is important to Christ, we have to care and love His church. Because He loves His church. And He loves those who have received Him as their Savior. Now, of course, He loves the world, those who haven't received Christ. We understand that. We're going to talk about that. But He has a special, unique love for those who have said, "I want to be a part of your family." And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you become a part of His family, His church. It's a wonderful thing. You know, in our mindset of a culture, you know, church is like a social club. Well, some people go to that social club on Sunday morning. No. Now, I know there's a lot of social clubs, and I'm not against certain social clubs. But it is social, but it is God's family. It's a lot different. It's an eternal family. And so this is so important to the Lord Jesus. So we need to be very conscious and purposeful in building it up. Now let's go to this passage, Ephesians 4. I'd like to start there. Ephesians 4, and I want to begin. I'm just going to jump into a sentence in verse 12. Now, He gave certain gifted individuals, people with certain gifts, and of course, all the gifts are needed, but these are the one mentioned here. But anyway, then it says, verse 12, Ephesians 4:12, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." Now just think about this. Saints need to be equipped. We might say discipled, mentored. The equipping of the saints so that they will do the work of service. That is one thing unique about the church. It's not just a one-person situation. We're all a part of this. So that we all can do the work of service wherever God places us, whatever unique roles He's given us, to the building up of the body of Christ. To the building up. And the word edification, we used that this morning. The building up of the body of Christ. Now, when we start, you think of a little baby, a physical little baby, and they're so cute, and some of the little ones, we see them growing so fast, right? But when they're just a little baby, they need so much nurture and care and protection. You protect them, you know, you don't want anything to harm them. And then as they get a little stronger, then they're not only, they're walking, they're running, right? And this morning I was enjoying just watching the kids just in the fellowship room, right? Just going around and it was just cute watching them because they were all kind of doing their own thing in their own little zone, you know. But as they're growing along, so we want to protect them, care for them, do everything. And then obviously we want to build them up, right? We're exposing them to the gospel, exposing them to the word, singing about the Lord. And also then they have these connections and the teachers are working with them and all of that. Well, then as they come along, they just need constantly nurturing, building up. And that's true for all of us. We continually need to be nurtured. And, you know, just think of all the prayer requests we have. Well, some people just need to be encouraged, right? Just encouraged. For some people right now, it's a really hard time. I was going to mention this earlier, but a dear friend of mine, just a good friend of mine, we were elders together in Nova Scotia, and he's in his 90s, and he's having some real health problems. He lost his wife about, I would say, about 10 years ago now. So life has changed a lot for him. Dear brother, just a dear brother. But he's struggling with his lung problems, and So my heart, I said to Marty, it's just, it touches my heart because we're such good. We went through so many things together, right? You know, when you're in that role together, you go through all kinds of things, the joys and the other things, but it brings you together, right? It knits you. And so my heart, but so, you know, his name is Ralph, and I know he needs my prayers, and maybe tonight or maybe tomorrow I'll try to call and see how he's doing. But he needs encouragement. Now, his daughter-in-law, who is a really good friend of Marty's, she just lost her brother-in-law, and he was unsaved. And I know that's a heavy burden on her. So she needs our encouragement, right? So we all need somebody, no matter how far along we're on the Christian life, we need somebody to come along and say, hey, I care about you. I'm praying for you. I love you, you know, right? And we need that constant. So we're building one another different ways. We all have different gifts and different abilities and different opportunities. And so, but we need each other. We need each other. So we, and because Christ loves, he loves all of us. He wants all of us to love one another. And so we're building up. We talked about that. Part of that process is we teach, just as the Word of God is our ultimate authority, and we teach the Word so that people are built up. But notice again, I want to just highlight this. Back in this, before we move beyond Ephesians 4, drop down to verse 16. For whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. That means every one of us are needed. Every joint. We're all part of this. What every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. All of us are needed in this. Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself. And notice, in love. We talked about it, in love. Love is we do the very best for one another. That's really to love them. To love them. But so building up is in the context of love. We're motivated, we want to do what's best for each other, and we reach out, we minister in unique ways, different ways, building up the body. We said this morning, again, just to teach the Word. It's the only guidebook we have. Loving one another, we talked about that, so critical. And then as I didn't mention this morning, it's an obvious given. We've talked about this on Wednesday night quite a bit. Praying for one another. Praying for one another. How much we need to just call upon the Lord for each other, not only for physical needs. I do think, you know, we because we love each other, we pray for each other's physical needs, but we need to pray for our spiritual growth as well, spiritual needs. Just to pray for one another, be sensitive to one another, and share with one another when it's appropriate. And then we mentioned this morning, serving one another through love. Again, serve one another. Serve one another. Now, I want to move on beyond that. Fellowship with one another. Fellowship. I'm going to go to Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, 24, and pick up this passage, which I think we've read it in different contexts recently, but I'm going to go to Hebrews 10 and verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate, and we talked about that in a context, one another in love, to love and good deeds. So neither are we to love, but we are to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. So love takes on action. Love and good deeds. And then it says in verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, Andrew mentioned this. When you think of what's going on right now in the Middle East, and you just see the storm clouds, right? I don't know when the Lord's coming. But you just see, when we look at prophetic things and we think, whoa, the center of everything is happening, and you begin to put pieces together and say, whoa, the Lord, he could come at any time. As you see the day drawing near when the Lord comes, which if you can't see it, just turn your TV on, okay? Just open up the paper. The day of, it's coming. It's coming. And notice what it says. The day is drawing near, and all the more. So all the more, not less. Of, this is the slide in really where we're at as a Christian culture. It seems that as the day's drawing near, we're getting together less and less. Now, I'm sure there's lots of different reasons. One thing, we're busier and busier and busier all the time, right? Seems like you got 100 different choices every minute. But God says we need one another. We need to fellowship with one another. We need to get together, not just to have this little social, but we're relational. We're created in the image of God. We're relational. We need relationship with each other. And we can't minister to one another. We can't encourage one another. We can't build one another up if we don't connect with one another. So I just want to encourage you. I mean, thank you for being. Thank you for being here. And so God wants us, and then to encourage others to do the same. Because the question that people, you've heard this in the past, you know, what's in it for me? Well, that's not the only question. The question is, what's in it for those around me? Sometimes we come, and I've said this a variety of times, but we come not so much what did I get out of this, but what can I give? What can I give? Who, you know, I think of that fellowship room, you know, people all different. There's all kinds of needs represented in that room on a Sunday morning. Now, they're not, you know, waving a flag and saying, you know, I'm hurting or, you know, I'm lonely or I feel isolated. But people are in there and they need that you might be the very answer to their need on that day. Just to come alongside, say, how you doing today? You know, it's great to see you. You know, and you think, there was a row of people this morning, and a lot of those people I didn't know. But, you know, hopefully people reached out to them. And there was one event today, and I'll not share names, but somebody knew somebody that was here. And they didn't even know. I think it was the very first time they've ever been here, this one particular person. And somebody else who is a part of this family saw them. And they recognized them, and they reached out to them. I said to the gal who did that, I said, I think that might have been a divine moment, because I'm not sure what's going on in the life. I don't even know this other person who just visited this morning. But you see, you have one person who knew them. She was the only person who knew that person, I think, in our assembly. The only person I think that knew that. And she saw them and reached out to them. Because the person had already gone out the door. The other person saw them and they went out the door and said and talked to him for about 5 minutes. That's a big deal. We don't know what's going on in that person's life. But you see how you don't know when you come who needs what you. God can work through you to touch their need. And so we get together, we fellowship with one another, and just encourage. I know we have a whole culture that's just running crazy in busyness, but we need one another, and may we encourage one another. Another point, giving to one another. In Romans 12:13, it says, contributing to the needs of the saints. Contributing to the need, and this is just a short out of a long list of things we're supposed to do in Romans 12. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Somebody this morning just asked me about, you know, giving. It was interesting, just a side comment. But the Lord does want us to give. I mean, it's just a part. You know, we don't hammer giving, but it all ultimately, as it ultimately all belongs to the Lord. And so we're to be stewards, and it's a giving. But we build one another as we contribute to the needs of the saints, the needs of the saints. And the world, it's interesting how people in other parts of the world, we can actually, through some of these, there's some solid ministries that you can give to those ministries, and you know that they can be trusted to pass money on to some of these needy Christians around the world. And so that's part of it. And then just giving into our own family. God has given us some very kind, gracious people. Giving to the family, and then that allows us to give to the needs of the saints and also to the needs of missions and to missionaries. And we think of the Sabines, we think of others who need support. Giving to one another. Restoring one another. Galatians 6, brethren, this is one. Brethren, Even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Now, people may not always respond to that, but that should be our desire. And we should do our best. I've seen in the past people really would just, they didn't want anything to do with you. I remember one time a guy came into my office, this is in Nova Scotia, and his life was, I mean, he was making a lot of wrong turns. And he came in, he said, I'm out of here. And really what, he wanted nothing to do, and he wanted no challenges. He didn't want anybody to cross him. And so there wasn't much we could do to help him. But I remember another girl, another young lady, who had lots of problems, came out of a rough background, made stupid choices, and we had to deal. We had to really get firm with her. But you know, the wonderful thing about that is that she turned. She turned around to the Lord and started walking with the Lord again. It took a little while, but that was a wonderful thing. But you never know how people will respond. But part of our job is to love people, to reach out to people, and if they will respond, to help them be restored. So that's the unfun part of ministry, but it is a part. Because if you love somebody, it's just like if you got a little kid and he keeps running out in the street, you got to do something to protect him from getting hurt, injured severely. And so you try. Restoration. Now, all these things in building up. Now, I just want to ask, I need to ask myself this question. And I think is, can you imagine we're in 2020? I just can't imagine 2020. It just seems unbelievable. And I've been thinking this week, you know, what do my goals need to be? And what changes do I need to make? Are there things I need to adjust? And I think it's something we pray about. You may not sit down for a short period of time and come up with these great answers, but we need to spend some time with the Lord saying, God, what do you want us to do personally and corporately? Do we need to grow in our love for the Lord and his family? Do we need to be more sensitive to needs around us? Do we need to pray more faithfully? You know, one of the things I think is, I think of the dear, I just so am thankful for so many of you who are such faithful prayer warriors. But as I was thinking of Janice, think how many people Janice prays for. But as she's on hold right now, others need to fill in the gaps, right? As we have faithful saints, you know, and one of the things is, as we get older, we can't move as fast, but maybe we can pray easier, better, right? But as those people are going home or have less ability to be able to function effectively, we need other people come along praying. Let's pray for one another. Pray for one another. You know, who is on your heart? Who has God impressed your mind with to pray for? They need your prayers. They need your prayers. Now, but we look at it, how can I build up the body? How does God want me in 2020 to build up the body? Now, I want to deal with this last area, reaching out to those without Christ, because this is critical. Christ loves his church. Christ loves the world. He has died for the world. So how do we reach out? Well, you know this passage, and I just read it as an intro. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Interesting, isn't it? You drive down Lansdowne, and the nations of the world are walking down the sidewalk. All the diverse groups of people that live in Peterborough. Marty has a good friend, and she has a friend, and so we've been building some rapport with them and had them over the holidays, just praying for their salvation, right? And so the nations of the world, now we're sending out missionaries, which we should, but also the nations are coming here. And so make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. So let's just think about reaching those who do not yet know Christ. I want to go to Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27. I'm going to read a part of that, and then I'll come back to this verse a little bit later. Philippians 1:27. Paul writes, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Now notice conduct is a part of this. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Our lives need to be consistent with our message. You know, I'm sure you've heard the saying, "You're living so loud I can't hear a word you're saying." People need to say, need to be able to look at us. And of course, we're always, somebody's always watching. That's what I've become more and more aware of all the time. You know, you don't think everybody's paying attention, but some people are watching. You know, they might be looking out the window. They might see you on the sidewalk. They might see you in the store. They might see you in the grocery store. But people are watching. And so, does our life line up with our message? You know, we say God loves the world. How loving are we of the world? So our conduct is really critical. And this just fits with that. But it's just kind of an addition to that. And this is Colossians 4, 5, and 6. And the point is to be a life worthy of the gospel, but we must walk in wisdom. Verse 5 of Colossians 4. Conduct yourselves, again that idea, with wisdom toward outsiders and make the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Our speech is a lot more important than I think we realize. If you listen, you know, if you watch again the news and what people say, you would think speech doesn't matter. It's amazing what people say to each other, or at least say to the camera about each other. It's amazing. But as Christians, we are to be wise in what we say. Our speech is to be flavored with grace, seasoned with salt. And so when you're talking to somebody, How do you come across? How do I come across when I'm talking to the clerk in the grocery store? How do I come across with that person? You know, am I having a lousy day and I'm going to make sure their day is lousy as well, you know? Or do I see, you know, sometimes I think, man, this line is unending. They need a little encouragement here. But when we need wisdom. How we respond, what we say. Just God, give us that wisdom. So we're not turning people away from the Lord, but we're bringing a question mark in their mind. I wonder why they said that. Why were they kind when I was so rough? But God wants us to be people of wisdom. And of course, we said this morning, this only comes as we draw on the Lord Jesus. He's our resource for wisdom. And so we need to guard by his strength our conduct and our speech. Now, this is a given. We've said this. Pray for those without Christ. This is number three. Pray for those without Christ. Paul said this about his Jewish fellow, the national Jews he was a part of. Brethren, Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, his fellow Jews, his connection with the Israelites, for them is for their salvation. So we pray for their salvation. I was thinking of this passage as well, again, a well-known 1 Timothy 2. I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. And then it goes on for kings and all who are in authority. And then it says, in verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. He desires all men to be saved. So we pray for all men. We pray for those in our, I think it was Dan who said, I wonder how much, you know, how many times we forget that is in the biblical text that we should pray for our leaders. We don't have to agree with our leaders always, but we need to pray for them and pray for all men, for the salvation of all men. Just ask yourself the question, who am I praying for right now who's lost? Who am I praying for right now who's lost? There's so many people around us we're rubbing shoulders with every day that are lost. How about the time you sat across, you were on the wrong side of the desk, but across from the doctor? Have you ever prayed for the salvation of your doctor? And of course, when I think as you get older, and if you have the privilege of little grandkids, you know, that's like a daily prayer. God, you know, pray. I pray for my grandkids. You know, pray that they'll come to Christ. Long for them to be saved. And I know the road ahead is in this world is not going to be an easy one, right? But I pray for their eternal souls, and also I pray for their protection. But a passion. You know, how many people pray for? I was thinking about one thing. I have a good friend that we met. We became friends in grade school, and his name is Dennis. He goes, I know him by Dennis because that's his name, but he goes by Pete. But anyway, he's a dear friend of mine, and I think maybe he might have trusted Christ, or he didn't come really from a Christian family, but he might have trusted Christ when he was a little kid, but I'm not sure. So I pray for Dennis on a regular basis. And the neat thing is at Christmas time I get a card from him. He sent me a card, and he wrote out all that he's doing, all the old age issues that you know we share in. But you know, I said, just pray for you know people you've crossed your path, old friends, new acquaintances, people who walk in the door on a Sunday morning that we don't know their name. Praying for salvation, loving people by praying for people. We need to witness for the Lord Jesus. Now, this is back in our Philippians 1, and I said I kind of indicated I'd come back here, but this is the end of verse 27. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, we're all unique. It's one thing, as I get older, I realize we all have different ways of relating to people and connecting with people. You know, Leon a lot of times will hand a track out to somebody, and some of the tracks that he's used, some of them came from Dallas Seminary, so I said, and I've used some of those, and so he had some, and I've got some of those, and so I'll hand those out. And I know Don, you know, is involved in sharing the gospel at McDonald's or wherever he's at. You know, he's part of his. The way God uses him. So it might be sharing a word, it might be handing out a tract, but to be a witness for Christ, you know, and think through, maybe you should think through your testimony a little bit, where you would say, if you had 3 minutes with a person, what would be something you could say about your life that showed you, that could be just a little, at least a light to them in some measure about the Lord Jesus and how he could be their Savior? Again, a friend of mine, he's a very interesting person. Again, he's in Nova Scotia. He has schizophrenia, but he is an evangelist. He's done amazingly well over the years. He takes his medication. He's been able to function. He was able to work, but he would be the first to tell you he has schizophrenia. And in fact, he's written out a letter, a little kind of a one-page thing. And he shares his testimony. And part of his testimony is, I have schizophrenia. But then he tells people how he came to Christ. And so a lot of times, and he's a street, he'd go on the street and hand books out and hand his testimony out. Now that's his unique way of sharing Christ. We're not all, you know, made like that. But we need to be challenged by that. How does God want me to share Christ with those around me? And to be a witness for Christ, and to think through, God, help me with my personality, my unique fears and strengths. How can you use me to share with Christ and the people that he's put in my path? Now, of course, another thing is to send out workers. As we build up the church, and this was true, the early church sent Barnabas and Saul, and it says, when this is in Acts 13, but verse 3, when they, the church, had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so we want people to hear the gospel in the Middle East. We want people to hear the gospel in Africa. We want people to hear the gospel in South America. We want people to hear the gospel. So part of that is sending people out and share, who will share the gospel. And then we need to give to workers. I think this is in Philippians 4:18, and it says this. Paul said to the Philippians, who were a real encouragement to him, I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. And again, just the idea of supporting workers and missionaries especially. Pray for one another for boldness. I think this is something, we've talked about this on Wednesday night, but I think maybe it's something we've neglected. And this is in Ephesians 6, verse 18. And it says in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And then in verse 19, it says of Ephesians 6, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I think we need to pray for one another more that we'll have boldness, not rudeness, but boldness. You know, you think, think of the people that God has placed in your path. You know, and I know this is true for me. I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to offend that person. I don't want him to be mad at me. Well, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, when I stand before the Lord Jesus, I also don't want to have to say, why didn't I share with that person, at least in some measure? And I need boldness. You know, we have two neighbors we're pretty close to, and then we have other ones that were, you know, not as, I mean, we're still kind of a cordial. But, you know, we had a little get-together over Christmas with several of them, and, you know, I gave them a tract, and I thought to myself, and a little Christian book, I thought to myself, you know, I'm not sure how well they're going to receive this. But I thought, you know what, when I stand before the Lord, I don't want to say, well, why didn't you say something to this person? And so I hope we'll still be cordial, and I think we will. But, you know, may God give us boldness and appropriateness, but boldness. And part of Paul's reason for boldness is because the Jewish people who he was trying to share with, they just were ticked. Anything about a Gentile or anything about Christ. And so he had a lot more pressure on him than we have on us. But we need boldness. And just to fulfill God's purpose. And these are part of it. We exalt the person of Christ. We please Christ. By building up the body of Christ, by reaching out to those without Christ. This is all about Him. It's all about Him. And so He's the center point. And may God help us stay on track. I shared this a long time ago, but again, an old farm story from an old farm dude. And I didn't do a lot of this because just the time of the year, a lot of times I'd be at school. But when Dad was planting, I remember when I tried to plant a row for corn, and you'd have to have these furrows. And this was for irrigation because we did have some irrigation land. And so the important point, when you were planting corn, you wanted to get that as straight as possible because when you were going to water that, you were going to irrigate. And at that point, at that time of life, which has changed a lot now, but you had these little rows. And so you would run the water down there from the main source of water. You'd run the water down all these. Well, the more the rows went like that, the more you messed up growing your crops, right? So it was really critical. I remember the first cut of the first row was absolutely essential because if you got that one wrong, everything else that followed was wrong. And so how important it was to be straight, to cut the rows straight. You know what? We want to cut our path straight. We want to please the Lord with all that we do. We want to please Him by exalting Him. We want to please Him by building up His body. We want to please Him by reaching out to those who do not yet know Him. May we please the Lord Jesus. May our path, may we cut our rows straight. When we look back, you know, it's a great thing. You look back if you've done well, and you look back and think, now you want to make sure your machine's not running. But you're looking back, and you think, man, that was a good start. that was a straight row, right? And if you got a whole field done and it was straight all the way through, you thought, man, you know, I hope Dad likes this. I hope the Lord likes our life. Let's pray. God, we need help. We want to live with your purpose. We want to please Christ with our lives. We want to cut a row straight so that when this job is all done, when our life is over in this world, we can look back and say, thank you, Lord. And you can say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We pray for this. We pray for this. In Jesus' name, amen.